CHSRHealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome, beautiful dreamers. This is Robert Mouse. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is the show where we affirm and celebrate the power of dreams and synchronicity and imagination, all greatly undervalued at our great expense. Wonderful guest today. Her name is Julie Tamborello. She's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She works in the healthcare field. She's a teacher of active dreaming and a very lively and gifted one. She's been helping people to awaken to the gifts of their dreams in many senses for a long time. Normally, I'd be going to Ann Arbor at least once a year for a workshop hosted by Julie. That didn't happen because of COVID. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is what is happening to dreaming and dreamers in this time of pandemic, in this time of difficulty. Julie, of course, is in the state, Michigan, which is particularly challenged both by the pandemic and by very strange social, political malaise of our times. Welcome, Julie.
Hi. Thank you, Robert. Great to be here.
What's it like dreaming in Ann Arbor right now? What's it like being in Michigan right now?
Well, actually, today it's quite sunny and beautiful out, so feeling very hopeful and optimistic. Went out for a walk, and that's actually when I kind of, like, put questions out to the universe. And, you know, I've really had to shift from driving into work, where oftentimes I do my gratefulness or speaking to the universe, and I get messages, and because of the pandemic, I've had to shift that quite a bit to going for walks or finding other ways to get those messages. And it's actually a beautiful day. And I know that the numbers are looking bad with COVID. But, you know, we in Michigan are very resilient, and we find ways to get through even the hardest times.
Well, I've noticed that, and yet Michigan has been hit so hard from so many directions, so many ways. Anyway, bless you for continuing to dream and help other people to dream. Talk to us a bit about your experience of listening to other people's dreams and trying to help them to see what might be there under these conditions.
I would say, you know, I shifted my dream groups to virtual online through Zoom. I've actually had people join from other states now, or people that were in Michigan moved away. And I think that people are really craving and desiring having this deeper connection because of COVID, not just because we are separated from each other, but because just finding connection to themselves. And I've found that a lot of people, even people that are very spiritual and have been in these practices for years, even myself, have struggled over the past year because of all the changes. And feeling even like going into a depression and needing to not only tap into the resources that we've used, but to find new ways to connect to ourselves, others, and our higher selves as well.
Right. Well, I remember how it resonated with so many people when Michelle Obama said that she felt she'd been suffering from a low-grade depression for months. And many people sat up and said, yes, that's what it feels like. I mean, the lack of face-to-face, you know, contact, the lack of hugs for us in our dream community, the inability to get together and jump around and hold hands and dance and sit out on decks and talk at all hours of night and day, that's something we all miss profoundly. And yet, it is remarkable to what extent virtual reality can substitute for some of that. I found that myself. I found that the online communities that I lead have got deeper, maybe because people are looking for more, and are really quite satisfying. I mean, there's something missing, of course. I mean, when you think about the kind of dream play shops that we've done with the dream theater and the sort of rolling in the aisle of laughter kind of thing, we miss that. But nonetheless, we have something. Talk to me about how, if you've noticed this, how your own dreaming might have shifted under these circumstances, the content and the nature of your dreams, and whether other people's dreaming seems to have shifted in certain directions. I mean, are there new themes, are there new ways of dreaming? We dream in so many different ways. What have you noticed?
Well, I do have to say the first thing that comes up is that I dream a lot of times that I'm in a place and don't have a mask on, or, you know, or other people aren't wearing masks. So it's like this whole mask thing is in my dreams constantly, you know, or I'll be in a dream at a work situation. I have a lot of work dreams. In fact, that was one that I was going to share with you today. And you know, near the end of the dream, I realized we don't have our masks on, and I'm wondering, are we still in COVID? Is it past COVID? So that's the first thing that comes to mind, is that seeping
over. So these are dreams that are very anchored to ordinary reality, to the need for social distancing and masking and so on in the ordinary world today, and maybe dreams, if they are my dreams, that are alerting me to the need to continue to be vigilant for myself and with others and enforce the rules. Those kinds of dreams. On my side, Julie, I never have to do social distancing or masking in my dreams except last night. Maybe this is in preparation for this conversation. This is the only time I can remember, you know, in months and months and months. It wasn't even masking. I'm leading a work. Well, let me slow down. I'm traveling. I'm going to talk to you about traveling and dreams in a moment. I'm traveling. It's a very short dream so far. And I'm leading yet another workshop. I'm leading workshops in rituals in my dreams every night of the week. And it's an oddly shaped space I don't recognize. It's a bit hard to get people in a circle or an oval even. People are reaching out to grab each other's hands, and I suddenly realize and think, no, this is not okay. We can't do that. I'm sort of backing away and getting people to back away. But even in the stream, we're not masking. You know, we're avoiding holding hands and hugging, but we're not masking. And we'll come back to the whole question of what's going on in dreams in which we're in a plausible situation, possible future situation, parallel life situation. But in contrast to the dreams you're mentioning, maybe because I really get out there, masking and social distancing really don't seem to come up in my dreams. What else are you noticing about your dreams and other shifts related to these? Of course, yeah, you're on the front lines. I mean, you're in healthcare, in hospital work. So, talk to us about what you're noticing in dreams that might be geared to connected to the situation.
I mean, I would say that several of the dreams that have been shared with me by dreamers and in groups is this theme of what's on the surface and then going deeper. So, I'll share an example of one that just recently a dreamer shared with me, which was, you know, she's standing knee-deep in water, and then there's fish swimming around her, and a boat is coming at her, and it's disturbing the fish. And we reentered the dream, and so my dream of her dream was that the fish took me deeper, deep into the water, and said, look up. And then I saw the boat, and they said, that's just on the surface. When you go deeper, there is no disturbance. Everything is still and everything is okay. And I've been carrying that experience with me of going back into her dream and it becoming my own dream. That's what I feel like has been going on in the past year. And those are the kind of dreams that are being shared with me, too, of what's going on the surface. And then if we go deeper, there's something.
That's really interesting. Let's slow down for a minute, because not everybody knows about the process that you're talking about. So you are tracking, you're entering someone else's dream with their permission to help them explore what's going on from your point of view. That's what you're doing, right?
Yes, correct, yep.
What did she find when she went back inside her dream? Was she able to get that?
Yeah, she went back inside. It was the whole group actually did it. But for her, she went back inside the dream, and the fish, spoke with her. And, it was a little bit more about just everything being okay, you know. Don't be so worried about the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots of other people got things about the water. I think if you look on my Facebook page, I actually posted about it. As this woman was explaining the dream, I was looking at an oracle card deck that I had just created of the water goddess. And then meanwhile, a woman in the group was wearing this blue scarf and was just like the water goddess. So there's this great synchronicity of this woman sharing this water dream with this depth connection to higher self, the water goddess, and then another woman in the group.
So your Facebook page is Dreaming Julie, is that right?
That's correct. DreamingJulie.com is my, DreamingJulie is my Facebook. So Dreaming is first name, last name, Julie, yeah.
We've got a website, DreamingJulie.com. We've got a Facebook page, Dreaming Julie. We've got a new game that Julie and her group have been putting together. They're building, helping people build dream oracle decks, which is really cool. But let's just pause for a moment longer on the technique and the process. that Julie just described. This is called dream reentry and tracking. It's one of the core techniques of what we call active dreaming. And what it means is this. It's got two aspects to it. They're both really interesting. First of all, if you want to know what's going on inside your dream, the best way to reach that kind of knowing is to go back inside your dream if you can manage that. So you can get right back inside the dream, see if the dream on the inside feels literal or symbolic, for example, see what it might be, the experience of another reality or something that might happen next week, see what it's like, a sort of movie production going on, like a movie set where an entertainment or a teaching is being put together for you, try to talk to people inside the dream, open the closed door, face the monster, all sorts of good stuff like that. The tracking is what Julie started out by describing when she went into the waters of someone else's dream and found that below the surface, where the boat is bobbing around and things look problematic, it's not so bad down below. There are depths to be reached and things to be gained. Tracking is when we get permission to go into someone else's dream or psychic space and get some information and maybe even intervene a little more actively to help them find their way through. The very cool thing is that when you learn to do this, you have sort of an objective confirmation that we can meet up and do things together in non-ordinary reality. We can get out and about beyond the physical constraints of life. And that's a useful thing to know, and it happens spontaneously, of course. People connected with each other, meet up, they have telepathy, they even find themselves in the same situation and dreaming. But this is a focused practice which produced some very good results, and as Julie said, is confirmed by synchronicity, because that's going on too. You know, we can dream with our eyes open as well as our eyes closed. Julie, I want to give you a very short dream report of my own and have you work it with me. Would you like to do that?
Great, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a recent one. It's very short. It's one of my travel dreams. I would say that I've always been conscious of traveling in dreams, but it's big time for me all the time now. So I'm at a grand country house in Scandinavia, probably in Sweden. I'm not absolutely sure, but I know it's in Scandinavia. And my host is a very aristocratic Scandinavian, and the family are at the table. It's one of those big tables. And yet, the food service is very family, very homely. There's a huge bowl in the center with a meat dish. I think it's Swedish meatballs. I'm not absolutely certain. It's absolutely delicious. I can't believe how good the gravy tastes. And we're all eating it and having a good time, and I guess we've got other things and wine and so on, but I'm really conscious of the meat dish. And suddenly the huge family bowl is looking pretty empty. There's no meat chunks left in the gravy. And the lord of the manor is looking a bit sad that it's all gone. So I do something very strange. I pick up my dish, which has very little left in it, and I offer it to my host. And the aristocratic Scandinavian is stunned. The guest is offering him his own plate. He's absolutely astonished. I mean, and I say, well, it makes it really feel like a family affair, doesn't it? And that's basically my dream. So my title is More Than Your Everyday Swedish Meatballs.
All right. What were your feelings upon waking?
There were sensations more than feelings. I could still taste. Well, I was happy. I was happy. I was delighted by the dream, really. But I could still taste the gravy of what might have been Swedish meat. I could still taste the amount of... And I wasn't hungry, Julie. I mean, I felt satisfied. I'd had a great meal in my dream. I wasn't hungry basically all day. So the feelings extend to the body sensations. The body sensations are, oh, those lips smacking good. And I've got a full belly all day long because of what I ate in my dream.
And reality check, like what do you recognize in the dream?
Well, I've been to Scandinavia. I've been on a bit of a Norse mythology kick for some months because of my dreams. I've been studying and rereading Norse history and mythology. I taught in Sweden a couple of times, and I'd actually taken to dinner by a very aristocratic Swede, not the one in my dream, but a very aristocratic Swede, very, very good dinner. I don't think we had Swedish meatballs. It's not impossible that I will go to Sweden again or another Scandinavian country. I've got friends in all the Scandinavian countries and also in Iceland, and it's not impossible I will go there in the future. And I like Swedish meatballs. I mean, I had them in Kötbulla. I had them several times in Stockholm when I was there in the past. So it is possible the dream anticipates a future situation, but it's also possible it's an experience in its own right, on its own ground, and that's that. I went there and did that.
So can you explain, like, what are Swedish meatballs? Can you give me a couple sentence description about...
Well, they're usually a mixture of beef and pork with some, you know, some grains added and, you know, rolled up as a meatball and cooked in a very thick, rich gravy. This is a very rich gravy. And the taste was so gamey, they may actually have been venison. They may have been venison. It's a very deep, rich getting these late.
Mm-hmm. And what are your associations with meatballs?
Well, if I go Italian, I have one set of associations. If I go Swedish, it's another. Coming out of the dream, I'm not thinking Swedish meatballs. I'm thinking meat. I'm thinking there are chunks of meat in mm-hmm. in the stew, in the broth, in the gravy. So although my mind went to Swedish meatballs, I don't know that that is my primary association. It's more a question of where's the meat in this wonderful gravy. Now, I don't know that I can say more to you about Swedish meatballs, except that I like them a lot.
All right. Well, did you have any intent before you went to bed that night?
No, I don't. I generally don't set intents these days. If I do, it's something like I want to have some fun. You know, let me have another adventure. Let me bring back a new story. I'm traveling every night, and I'm typically writing down half a dozen dream reports. This is just a vignette, but I'm typically bringing back at least half a dozen scenes like this every night.
Yeah, what do you want to know about the dream?
Well, I'm very curious about the dreams in which the senses other than sight and hearing come alive. I'm always interested. There's a certain kind of physicality, a certain kind of juiciness about a dream in which you taste or smell things vividly. I become more alert to the dreams in which I have a strong sensation with my senses, with my inner senses, I guess one could say, the senses of the energy body. So I'm very curious about what other people make of that, whether they have experiences like that. I don't hear many people talk about it, actually, even when I raise the subject. But I think it's evidence that, you know, I'm very interested in the evidence that we might be traveling in an energy body that knows pleasure and pain and has senses that can be just as vivid and alive as the physical senses. So that's the theme that most interests me.
Okay. Well, if it were my dream, I have a couple thoughts to address what you're asking. The first thing is when I think of, you know, sharing something that I really love, that I'm really into and really savoring, you know, I think of dreaming. I mean, that is what I'm passionate about. And, you know, and I do it on my own. I process my own dreams. I teach workshops, but I think about sharing it, you know, like a passion, thinking about this workshop that I've created, and I know you have created workshops too, that I want to share it with others. So here's these meatballs. To me, it's the meat of what I do, which is dreaming, and I'm getting near the end, and this person doesn't have any more, and I want to share that. So I would just wonder if maybe the meatballs, you know, if it were my dream, represent my passion, what I'm really into, and I want to share that with others. And it surprises them, right? But they're very touched by it as well, especially because I'm at like a family meal, right? We are growing a dream family, a dream society, and sharing it is how we make those connections.
That's really good, Julie. That really resonates with me. And I'm thinking, at the family table, I would be perfectly capable of offering what's left of my dish to another family member, particularly my youngest daughter, who might or might not want it. But it's very unexpected behavior in a rather grand house with a host like this.
Mm-hmm. And I think of, you know, like when we do gather as dreamers, it's at the table. That is where we're oftentimes sharing our dreams, is around a meal and around food. And so, you know, the thought of, like, experiencing these sensations, I mean, I would want to, if it were my dream, maybe try to recreate that. I mean, food in all cultures actually is a bonding experience, and it brings people together. So maybe I might want to try to either recreate that dish, right, because I'm experiencing it, and maybe I want to bring it back to this reality, or just recreate that kind of you know, experience where I do make something. Maybe it's not Swedish meatballs, but maybe it's something that I'm really, really good at. Maybe I'm really good at making chili. So I make chili, and then I, as an action,
I make the best chili.
Well, there you go.
I could definitely do that. Swedish meatballs, I'm not sure. That's very good, and that's an action plan. And there's another action plan, actually, because I left out detail, you know, as you do when we tell a story sometimes without looking at the notes. The aristocrat and I are leaving in the morning for his friend's estate because there's been a new archaeological find and maybe evidence of spirit activity on the land. So we have a further investigation in store, and that's my action plan on that bit, which we didn't get to discuss, relates to my continuing work on Norse mythology, which is going to be part of a class I'm leading this week. So Julie just gave me really good, if it were my dream, feedback. I love the relating the sharing of the table to the sharing of dream work and so on. She's given me an action plan. I need to cook, and actually I've got some more research to do. So, you know, meatballs are clearly in my future, Julie. Thank you.
That's great. And so that's your action plan. Do you have a bumper sticker for this?
A meatballs are in my future.
Say that again.
I said meatballs are in my future.
Oh.
Share the meat. Nice. Share the dish.
Yeah. Now, you know, I actually have been making meatballs that I don't normally over this pandemic, but unlike other people that are kind of isolated, we have 7 people in our house.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been needing to make dishes with lots of things. So I've actually made lots of meatballs recently. So very
you put a big dish in the center of the table?
No, actually, but I do. I put the meatballs in like sauce, so it's more like Italian meatballs, and then people dish it out themselves. So, yeah, I guess it kind of is like that.
So we're talking to Julie Tamborello, wonderful teacher of active dreaming, wonderful coach on all of these things. Go to dreamingjulie.com, her website. You can find on Facebook at Dreaming Julie. We'll be taking a break in a moment. When we come back, I'm going to see if Julie will do us the favor of sharing a dream with me that I can work with her. If you're up for that, Julie, that would be great.
Yes, that'd be great.
All right. So I think we're taking our break now. So this is Voyage of the Dream with Robert Knopf.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see that I'm leading a variety of online classes in different places. We'll see about getting back to in-person workshops as time goes by. You can also read about my new books. And here is Julie, Julie Tamborello, dreamingjulie.com, a wonderful teacher of active dreaming based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And she's volunteered to share a dream of some kind with me, and we're going to work it by what we call our lightning dream work game.
All right. You want me to just hop right into it?
Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, so I've been just a little bit, with the pandemic, I've been working from home, so having lots of work dreams. So here is one for you. I go into the office, which I haven't been into in a while, and at my desk, my monitors are missing. And I'm really upset because I can't do my work because the monitors are missing. And I ask a colleague about it, and she's like, oh, yeah, I give it to this faculty member. And these are double monitors, and I've had these monitors for like 10 years. I'm very attached to them, and I'm so mad at her. And I'm like getting upset, and I'm saying, you know, I've been coming into work. I need my monitors. I can't do work without these. Why did you do that? She's like, oh, I didn't really think you needed them. And I'm just mad. I'm mad that she didn't consider me and that she didn't, you know, ask me and that she gave my monitors away. And then the dream shifts and the monitors are back, but they're not in the same way they were before. Like, on my monitors, I actually have little quotes, kind of inspirational quotes on the bottom of them, and now the quotes are on the side or upside down because they took the monitors apart and put them back differently. And I'm left wondering, like, will these monitors work? Will they ever be the same? And I wake up, and I'm just mad and curious.
Okay, well, let's play our game. What is the title of this dream?
My colleague takes my monitors of 15 years.
Oh, okay. And you wake up feeling mad. Any other feeling?
Yeah, I'm disappointed, and I'm also just sad because things have changed.
Mm-hmm. So, reality check, this is the work set up in the office, is it?
Yeah, it's a colleague that I work with. This is my desk. These are my monitors. And this actually very well could play out. So in the work situation that I'm in, the majority of people are working from home these days. I have been going in over the past few weeks. And I've been asked about if any of my staff members, if people could borrow their monitors or take them home or whatever. So that's kind of the reality check.
Right. So, you've answered the reality check question. So, what do you want to know?
I want to, why am I having a dream about monitors, and what do monitors really mean or represent in my life?
Well, before we go symbolic with the dream, I mean, I'm going to cleave to the idea that it could be a sketch, a rehearsal for something that could actually play out quite literally as you thought. I mean, if not in the office, things are changing. People will be moving things around. People, the organization and the members of the staff and so on, will all be considering new ways of using the space. And it might be that by the time that any of us who work in offices get back to the workspace, it's going to look quite different. It could be that without understanding, it might cause pain or disruption. You know, somebody thinks that, you know, the monitors can be moved or given to someone else. And it might be that in that situation, a complaint by me, if it's my life, will restore the monitors, but they're not the way they were. My beloved post-it notes and my quotes have gone, and things are not the same, and they're not put where I want them. All of this could absolutely play out literally as I previewed it. So my first level of response to the dream, if it's my dream, is, hey, I've been rehearsed for a situation at the office. If it could possibly happen, what are my options? First of all, can I do something to make sure that this does not happen? Can I put my foot down in terms of instructions to the office or staff or whatever to make sure that my stuff is not fooled around with, at least without consulting me? Alternatively, can I just accept that things might change despite my best efforts and be rehearsed not to get mad, not to, you know, not to throw a temper tantrum, not to blow things out of proportion if it happens, but to handle things coolly and understanding from the dream that if I really want the monitors back, I can have them. It might be a little bit disruptive, but it's not all that bad. If I go to a symbolic level of interpretation, well, I'm going to play the space alien game, and I'm going to ask you to do it with me. Julie, I'm a space alien. You have no trouble believing that. I've arrived for a different galaxy. What is a monitor, and who needs two monitors anyway? What's going on with this equipment?
Well, one monitor is fine if you're doing simple tasks, but two monitors are really essential when doing more complex tasks, especially with spreadsheets or numbers or finance kinds of things, which actually my colleague is the director of finance, so that's interesting. I also, when I keep hearing the word monitor as I'm saying it myself, and I think of a monitor like somebody who oversees things that are going on, that's monitoring a situation.
Right.
So even though I'm talking about a screen, which is how I'm engaging with people at work these days, is through a screen. I often spend 8 hours in front of a screen talking to people most days. So they're really important. They've become, monitors have become the center of my work world, really. And two, of course, is better than one. But I'm also thinking of monitors as being monitored by people as well.
Okay, I'm still a space alien, and I still don't understand what this monitor has a screen on the desk does. I don't know what it is. What is it?
So it's a box. It's a box shape that has a screen on it, and I'm able to see other people that are in other places, other that are not where I'm at, and that's the first way I engage with a monitor, is looking at it, and I'm able to view people through Zoom, or I'm able to view information. So monitor provides me information or provides me connection to people.
We forget how primitive you people are. We do that by teleportation or telepathy. We don't need a screen to do that. We just hop from one space into the other or just communicate mentally. So thank you, because you are primitive savages on a poorly evolved planet. You have to have these things in order to keep in touch with people. Can you have too many of them because you've got monitors at home as well? I mean, how many screens and how much screen time do you really need in your life? Is it an advisory about that? I mean, do you need to be on screen all the time everywhere?
Oh, that's a really good question. My first thought is, no, you can never have enough monitors right now. And then my second answer is, yes, there's too many monitors in my life.
Well, of course, I didn't put it the correct way. If I was speaking as Robert Hutt, if it were my dream, I think, do I have too much screen time, too many screens wherever I go, but I was still speaking as a space alien.
Right.
I got a little bit accusative, or accusatory, because I was playing space monitor looking in on your situation. All right, so do you have an action plan? Anything you're going to do based on the discussion?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally going to talk to my colleague about my monitors so that this does not play out. That's my first action plan, yep.
Play monitor over my monitors, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Be supervisor, be monitor of the monitor situation. Thank you, Julie. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll find some more fun things to talk about. We're listening to Julie Tamborello, dreamingjulie.com. We're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Bass.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies daily oral rinse and toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Knott. Our guest is Julie Tamberello. She's been engaged in helping people to construct their own Dream Oracle cards, their own Dream Oracle decks, in effect. I think it sounds like a super thing to do, and I'm sure that if you're interested in that, she might be able to help you out. Talk to us about this project, Julie.
Yeah, so, you know, again, this comes out of dreaming through the pandemic and, you know, trying to find a way, I think like many other people, kind of feeling like this low-level depression and trying to connect with, you know, normally we would go to a workshop, right? We'd be together, we'd be connecting with each other, you'd lead us through these grand adventures and, you know, well, we can do that online. I think I was missing that. And so, you know, normally I would drive and I'll see, you know, the universe speaks to me through license plates. And I'm not really driving very much. I'm like, how can I connect with the universe? And I do have Oracle card decks that I've used before. And I thought, you know, there is power in our own images, tapping into those dream images, tapping into those own personal images, and putting and making our own Oracle card decks. And I kind of came up with this idea, and then I reached out to Cassandra Matt, who, you know, is another wonderful active dream teacher, and she's, like, a great expert on the tarot card. And so she and I built this workshop, Dreaming Your Own Oracle Card Deck. And it really came out of this need to be creative, to connect with myself, to connect with my higher self, to connect with other dreamers, and then bring that, kind of going back to the meatballs. You know, I wanted to take this thing that I developed and am passionate about and wanted to share it with others. So we've already done one workshop, and, you know, there's people who come into it and say, oh, I'm not an artist, or they're very hesitant about it, but every person that has completed it comes out of it so surprised at how creative they are, you know, the images that they were able to capture in a very short time, and they come away with 20 cards based on, you know, the five elements, guides, animals, objects. It's really been fabulous and fun, and it's been a way to help dream through this pandemic, basically, and find deeper meaning.
Sounds like great fun. So it has a structure. People are going to do 20 cards. Is that it?
Yep, it's a two-day workshop, and it's based on, like I said, the five elements, fire, water, earth, air, and spirit. And then we have the characteristics, so it's a guide for each element, and then an animal that's related to each element, a nature object, and they come away with 20 cards. It's very fast but fun, and again, the product that comes out of it is just beautiful and wonderful.
It's so liberating to get people to do some art, even if they think they never could do it. It brings out the child creator in the adult, and that in itself is wonderful. What a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about what we were beginning to discuss during the break, Julie, which is, in these conditions, these strange conditions our world is in, have new themes, new dominant themes, new dominant content, new dominant styles emerged in dreaming for you? I mean, you have to name a dominant theme that might be different from what it was before emerging for you in your own dreaming over the last year. What would you say?
I would say the dominant theme has been death and transition. So right at the very beginning of the pandemic, I had an experience where I felt like I had gone through multiple deaths. Like I died, and then I had another death and another death and another death. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they too had that experience just recently. And it feels very much like that's what people are tapping into and experiencing over this past year of, in a way, a death. But through death, we transition.
That's I would say that is also true for a very large number of dreamers who share their dream reports with me. Of course, I'm in a position where I can read at least 100, detailed dream reports every day with all the different groups that I facilitate. And, of course, they typically come from people interested in dreams and oriented towards dreaming. But I would say not only that group, but the broader population, to the extent that I'm able to look into their dreaming, for them, to death and transition, death and the transition beyond death has been emerged as an absolutely dominant theme in these circumstances. Well, death is close to us. Most of us know someone who has died or is menaced by death in the conditions of the pandemic. We're all dying. Sooner or later, we might be more aware of that than we used to be. But the interesting thing for me in my contact with dreams about death is that most of them have actually been positive in the sense that people have come back from this encounter with the deceased, or this rehearsal for their own death, or this glimpse of what life might be like on the other side, with some degree of confidence, with some degree of calm, with some sense of thinking, well, it's okay, life goes on in whatever world, and it's nice to know that so-and-so is thinking about me, and she's doing pretty well in that new house she's built somewhere else. I mean, there's been a sort of positive quality to these dreams of death and transition in many of the cases that I've looked at.
Yeah, I agree. And in the dream that I shared that I had at the beginning of the pandemic, it was dying and then transitioning and dying again. And there was no end, right? Like, there is no end. We just transition into something
right.
different.
I'm conscious myself of spending a lot of time in dreams with the deceased for the last 13 months. That's not unusual. The other night I was with someone who died quite a long time ago, with whom I was very close, and I was staying with her in the rather grand house she now has. She's decorated to her taste, which is great, and I've got a room in the house, but she's also made up a bed for me in the courtyard. I'm sleeping outside because it's mild air. I like the freshness. I like the sense of expansion. So I'm choosing to sleep on a bed in the courtyard of a house of the dead, the house of the deceased. And the feelings are just lovely and sweet. There's no sense of menace. If someone else might say, well, Robert, that means you must be getting ready to pop off. Well, if I am, it feels perfectly good and perfectly fine and nice to see her again. So that's an example of a dream that, it just seems to be just so. She's living like that. Oh, good, we can be on friendly terms. And wouldn't it be nice to sleep outside in the courtyard on a mild night with the air and the trees just like that?
Do you feel like, Robert, that with COVID, that the veil between the worlds has become thinner recently? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it has. I think it's become thin in all sorts of ways. In some ways, are maybe enlightening and expanding for people. Some ways are very worrying, because I think that when we look at the dark side of the situation, all the people who seem to be suffering from some mental virus as well as the pandemic, I think the veils in the world have also thinned in the sense that psychic forces of hatred and destruction and confusion that have always been around have more access to more minds in our time than they've had possibly since the early part of the 20th century, and that is very disturbing. So the veils have thinned for people to understand that there's more beyond the physical world and attain some degree of enlightenment and maybe some degree of everyday inner practice through that. But there's also thinned in the sense that some of those collective psychic forces that have done such harm to humanity over time are very much in play today. So two aspects of response to your question.
Yeah, and for me, I feel that active dreaming and working with our dreams is a way to not only see that, but to be able to transition it and then shift that energy.
I think the tools and resources that you and I and our other dream teachers are offering are more urgently needed than ever, and I also think that people are hungry for them. They're absolutely hungry. And more people are beginning to become aware of what it is they're looking for. They're hungry without knowing how that hunger could be fed. More people are beginning to get it, and you even see some useful articles in the popular media and so on these days about different aspects of dreaming, and even if they don't go deep, you see people, who once might have been cynical or dismissive of the dream enterprise, trying to give people a handle on it, trying to give people some encouragement to go and do whatever, go and lucid dream, go and dream a solution to a problem. So I think things are moving along, and they need to, because, our world is in difficulty, and we need to bring back the elements of the dreaming society right now, don't you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm specifically thinking about you know, COVID patients that are dying on the floor alone, right? Knowing that they still have access to their dreams, to people on the other side, so are they really alone, right? And I
Let
think
me come back.
That
I want to ask you, I mean, you obviously can't share any confidential material. I want to ask you to what extent people in the healthcare community, as you experience it, are beginning to work with their own dreams and help others use dreams, particularly as they approach death and try to deal with difficult situations. We're talking to Julie Tamburello. You can find her website at dreamingjulie.com. We'll be back with Way of the Dream after the break.
All your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. It's our great pleasure to have Julie Tamburello on the show today. She is a teacher of active dreaming. You know, you probably know this already if you've been listening to the show. Active Dreaming is my name. An original school of dreaming, and we do a number of things. We help people to walk and to talk their dreams. We've got our lightning dream work process, a very simple four-step process for helping each other to unfold what's going on in a dream and take action. We've got a method of shamanic lucid dreaming. People talk about lucid dreaming a lot, but we teach people that maybe the easiest way to become a lucid dreamer is to start out lucid and stay that way. Go back inside a dream that you'd like to explore. Linger in that twilight state, that hypnagogic state between sleep and awake.
Can I also just add, Robert, something about that?
What's that?
Can I add just something about that? I mean, to me,
yes,
what's
please.
Different about active dreaming versus other, you know, dreaming is that it's when practiced, when done in a group or even, you know, one-on-one, it's healing and a gift to not only the dreamer, but the person who they're sharing it with as well. And just going back to what I mentioned at the very beginning of the person who shared the dream of walking the water and the fish, you know, I got to re-enter it, and that experience I shared with her, and it became a gift for her to help expand on her dream, but it also became my image as well in my experience, and it's one that I've carried with me. And to me, you know, that's what's different about active dreaming, you know, is that everybody benefits from it.
very well said. It's a way of sharing the energy. It can actually extend to dream transfer or vision transfer, sharing a really happy, juicy energy with each other. All right, Julie, I'm going to give you a very simple report from two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
The title is Take One Question on the Straight Way. Take One Question on the Straight Way. A wise man who has lived close to nature, skin like leather, clothes like bark, tells me his best way of receiving guidance in life. Choose one question, make it clear and blunt. Follow one road, straight as you can. Straight as you can. Whatever stands in your way, it might be a mountain, might be a skyscraper, it becomes part of your way. Follow the straight way. Find a way to get over it or through it. Your progress might be speeded by unseen forces. Eventually, operating this way, you will come to the council of the animals. One of their number, perhaps the whole family of its kind, will respond to your question. The council may deliberate for some time before the speaker is chosen. The nature of the animal may be more important guidance than any message that could be received as words. So that's the whole report. Get one question simple and clear, follow the straight way, get to the council of animals. That's what the wise man says.
Wow. That's powerful and a lot. And
yeah.
Did you give this? I'm a little bit stunned right now because it's very.
I gave
powerful.
You the title. Take one question on the straight way.
All right. And how did you feel when you woke up?
I felt okay. That's good advice. I felt attentive. I felt attentive. I didn't feel awed. I didn't feel stunned. I felt attentive. I'm willing to pay attention. I'm paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Did you recognize anything in the dream?
I like the idea of the Council of Animals and the fact that the nature of the animal might be the message as well as whatever else you get. I like the idea of getting a theme or intention simple and clear. You know, I'm constantly saying that to people. Get it simple and clear. Don't mix up 13 different things. I like the idea, which is somewhat startling. This is what is slightly startling to me. Follow the straight way. Even if there's a mountain or skyscraper in front of you, don't avoid it. Confront it. I mean, the fastest way in life, typically in ordinary reality, is not necessarily the straight way. You might have things zigs and zags. But he's saying go straight if you possibly can. That's slightly surprising.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want to know about the dream?
Well, I'm thinking about this following the straight way because he seems to mean it literally. You've got a skyscraper in front of you, you'll climb it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strange man from Argentina, strange surrealist writer, and also tarot. He's a tarot fellow as well, who once did that as a kid. He said they all decided they would walk straight through Buenos Aires, and they came to the building, they'd climb up the front and get over it. So it's not a bit like that. It's not a bit literalistic. So what
mm-hmm.
is this follow the straight way to that extent? It seems a bit over the top.
Right, and I'm assuming you didn't have a question before you went to bed or anything that you were working on? Okay. All right. Well,
no, I try to avoid working in dreams, Julie, these days. I'm
yeah. Well, I mean, if it's my dream, the two things that come to mind are I'm actually holding the book in my hand right now, The Obstacle is the Way, which I heard about from you, and you talked very much about, you know, following a path, and obstacles will come in our way, but the obstacles become the way. So if I'm following a straight path and there's a skyscraper in front of me, like what do I need to do? You know, do I go through it? Do I go over it? Like how does this obstacle become part of the way? So that's the first thing I think of. The second thing is tapping into animals. I had a dream given to me once, which was each animal resonates in a different energy. And some, you know, I can't use the bear for everything. I can't use the hawk for everything. I need the bear and the hawk and the fox. I need access to all these different animals and all the different guides because not one can help me on that path, on that way. So I would want to ask the question, what animals do I need to take the straight path? To mm-hmm. be able to deal with the skyscraper that appears to be
I probably need a rhinoceros or a dinosaur.
Right, exactly.
Take this
right,
kind
exactly.
of straight
Let's
path.
Get,
It's
right?
So funny because as you talk to me, and it's all very good stuff, the fox is dancing through my mind. You know, I have a very edgy relationship with the fox. I always have. But the fox turns up a lot in my life, particularly my imaginal life these days. The fox would not be famous for following the straight way at all. Is there any animal you think of as not taking the straight way? It's probably the fox. So I've got the fox sort of laughing in my mind as I listen to you. The fox has a different opinion about this, I think. Come back with that popular version of the Stoic philosophy. In fact, a chapter of my book, Growing Big Dreams, is called What is in Your Way May Be Your Way. The same idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The obstacle, the block might be the way. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Do you have an action plan and a bumper sticker?
I'll be straight when I can. Thank you, Julie. We have to
You're
take
welcome.
Our final break. We'll be back basically to say dream on and thank you. You've been listening to Julie Tamburello, dreamingjulia.com. This is Where's the Dream with Robert Moss.
All your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for sharing your dreams and your practice and your enthusiasm for all that is possible through active dreaming.
Thank you. It's been wonderful, and thank you for being the amazing teacher that you've been and creating active dreaming for all of us to share and grow this dreaming society.
Thank you, Julie. Well, Julie Tamburello, and all you beautiful dreamers, may you grow big dreams and see them manifest in the world.